From the Apostle Paul's first recorded sermon in Acts 13, we read verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Grace creates complacency. It's, of course, not God's grace that is the cause of our complacency, but rather it's our fleshly reaction to grace that creates complacency. Yes, every day. You, me, every one of us that has sinful flesh treats God's grace with complacency until the Holy Spirit impresses three things upon our hearts. God preaches, your sins are forgiven. Like the people addressed at Antioch, we are tempted every day to be so focused on our life in this world, games, fun, friends, the things we want, that we would push God into a corner. And preaching? Well, it's just Prof. Udy or another prof. And we've heard it all so many times that easily we push that into a corner and turn our thoughts to something that we think is cool. But Paul demonstrates in this address that God will not be pushed into a corner. He has entered history, fulfilled his prophecies, raised Christ from the dead to demonstrate to us that there is no other God. And no one, no thing, dare ever be allowed to take that most important place instead of God as the focus of our life. Yes, the Lord is still entering history, our lives, through preaching. And though sinful, faltering men like me and you are the vehicles, God is preaching. And he warns at the end of this address that those who despise his preaching shall marvel at what he does and perish. And yes, how complacent we can become about our sin. I'm not that bad. Every one of us has looked in the mirror and thought with the Pharisee, thank God I'm not like that person. The people at Antioch that drove Paul out also were told, rejoiced in hearing about God's grace until it proclaimed to them that they are as great sinners as that person. You are no better than the people you despise. Why do we consider ourselves so much better than that person? Why? Because our flesh doesn't want to look past the surface. You know, if we will truthfully ask ourselves, why is it that I do not, every moment of my life, make God the most important focus of everything that I do? We would have to answer. Often it's because I don't want to. And often, it's because my heart is so corrupt that even when I do want to, I can't do it. So underneath those surface blemishes, we see that we are by nature treacherous rebels seeking to overthrow God, addicted to the heroin of self-exaltation. Your sin, our sin, separates us from the Holy God. We deserve nothing. But God's certain and eternal vengeance. But you say, aren't our sins forgiven? Would not the people that drove Paul out of Antioch, would not the people that crucified Jesus have claimed the same thing? But taking for granted those words of forgiveness, failing to flee sin in daily repentance is that path of complacency and spiritual death. Tomorrow, we begin that yearly season of focusing especially on Jesus' suffering to buy the forgiveness of your sins and mine. See Him as our sins nail His quivering flesh to the cross, severing the nerves and jolting pain that will not stop. See Him squirming like a worm on a cross, gasping for breath in shame and mockery. See Him in that dread darkness of God-forsakenness that you and I deserve for eternity. See Him. Not just now. Not just in Lent. But every day. For that is the blood-soaked grace that declares your sins have been forgiven. Yes, our flesh creates complacency. But the Holy Spirit drives out complacency, impressing on our hearts those three things. God preaches, your sins are forgiven. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude this morning with hymn 153, stanzas 2 and 3.